joy of coming together Sunday after Sunday. And though sometimes it may look like any other ordinary Sunday, but it is special because you are always present. You will never leave us nor forsake us. And I want to thank you for Jolly here, the things that you have placed in his heart, and the strength, the resources you have deployed for him to use to share the things from your heart. This is what we want. We want to hear from your heart. Pour out yourself to us, our God, through your servant, Jolly, that we may be refreshed, that we may be strengthened, that we may draw closer to you and praise you forever. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. I'm trying to put this one. Good morning. Good morning. All right. Thank you, Joseph. Good morning again. I greet you all, and those of you who are visiting with us, and those who are visiting again. Welcome today. Last couple of weeks, last Sundays, we've been looking at the book of Ephesians. And for me personally, it is one of those books that has been, is impacting my life. Amen? If God's word is not changing us, shaping us to be more like Jesus, to walk closely with him and with believers, then we are missing out a little bit. We begin in chapter 1. Here Paul is speaking to the Ephesians, and the whole first half of chapter 1 is about all that God has made available for us. Amen? It's amazing and how he says that he chose us even before time began, and how he set in motion the plan for mankind to be reconciled with him through Christ Jesus. That he thought of us, he thought of you, he thought of our grandfathers, our great-grandparents through Christ. As he set out the plan for salvation, it was not enough the thought that when Adam and Eve fail, that God is going, oh my goodness, what do I do now? These two guys, they've messed up. I better come up with something. It was not enough, the thought. God set the plan for redemption for mankind from the very beginning. Yeah? And it says even in Corinthians, it was short, as he was writing to the Corinthians, that the wisdom of God is not this articulated, wonderful worldview or philosophy that the Greek were good at. He said the wisdom of God is not these thoughts, is not this philosophy, but he said is displayed on the cross, yeah? That no one knew what God was doing on the cross. The wise people of the world, the rulers and principalities, have no idea what God was doing in Christ Jesus on the cross. He says that he has hidden these things from the wise. Yeah? That the wisdom of God is an event that took place. And that is the cross. And the same spirit that Paul is talking about that is moving him. Here in Ephesians, he's talking to the Ephesians. speaking to them, encouraging them, remember what Christ did for you. All that he did for you. And then, you know, when he speaks about you are chosen, in him you've been adopted. You are not in the outside. Even though you are Gentiles, you know, he has brought you in to be part of the blessings of God. And then, the second half of chapter 1, Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He said, I have heard about your faith in God, and I've also heard about your love for each other. Yeah? And then he said, but I'm not satisfied. He said, I give thanks for you. I pray for you. And then he mentioned two amazing things. Like, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be open, that your spiritual eyes will see the things that you cannot see in your own human reasoning, that God will open the eyes of your heart, that the Holy Spirit will give you revelation so that you can know him better. That was his prayer. It's an amazing prayer, because I have a lot of lists on my prayer I want God to bring about, yeah? And Paul, his special, specific prayer for the Ephesians is that they may know him and everything that's there, the fullness of that there is, you know? So it says something to us, is that relationship with God, there is more for us to know. Amen? More treasure, more wonderful stuff. And here we in chapter 2. Another thing, I just want to bring this. I was in Oslo on Friday. And I have an opportunity to visit. You know that we have a growth group in Oslo? It's been going on since 2016. We have a member there that lives in Oslo. So she's doing Ephesians too. So I had an opportunity to go and sit with them and in the evening and pray together. So what is flowing here is flowing over there. But as we sat, I met this, I was introduced to this particular individual who grew up, and then he starts sharing his story. He grew up his father was a pastor. He grew up in a Christian environment, very loving. He prayed when he was a kid, and now he's married, lives here, graduated from university. Somewhere along the line over the years, he said to me, and it's very profound. He said, I don't know what I believe anymore as a Christian. Let me just say this. We are in our faith. We are engaged also in a battle for the truth of God. Amen? The Word of God. The content of the truth of God that has withstood the test of time throughout generation. God, Jesus promised the disciples, he said, I'm going to go, but I want you to go and spread the gospel. They were just human, just like us. I shared that before. And many times they were not good disciples. You know, somebody betrayed Jesus, so somebody deny Jesus. Sometimes they argue. And the thought of Christ entrusting them the God, the word of salvation, these imperfect people, that he trusts them, that this gospel that they are going to go and share to all the world, whoever receives this gospel will have eternal life. You know? It's hard for me to say to my son, hey, can you go and cook some chicken curry? That's not going to happen. But how can the disciples, in the midst of all the religion of the day, keep and maintain the purity of the gospel of Jesus when he is gone? He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. He will reveal to you everything that I've said to you. And he will keep you from all wrong. Amen? It is the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that that Paul said to the Ephesians, I pray that the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation will open your eyes. That is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. He knows God more than we do because he is God. And he reveals to us who he is. He will take us deeper in our relationship with him. And Paul's writing to the Ephesians was not just this amazing foundation, but also he needs to prepare them that their faith, that they would easily fall into syncretism. There are many religions in Ephesus, many temples, many philosophy, and he is giving them this word to help them grow in their foundation in Christ, for them to realize the privilege, the honor, and how powerful what they have that the world cannot give. So he wrote this letter as an amazing foundational doctrinal truth for us. I love it. I'm looking at the book of Ephesians. I'm trying to memorize the whole book. I'm not there yet. But my heart longs for that, that I pray that my children and their children's children will be grounded in God. Amen? Now here he is saying to the Gentiles, and you he made alive. He said, you were dead through trespasses and sin. This is from the New King James Version. In which you once walk, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these, and then he described all the stuff that we know. And then verse 4, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, that out of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive, not just alive, he said, he made us alive together with Christ. By the grace, you have been saved. Yeah? He said, and then he raised you up. Not only he said he raised us up, he said he raised up with him. And then he said he made us sit. Yeah? Not just sit. He said he made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages that he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace, we have been saved through faith. And this is not anything that we've done, but it is the free gift of God towards us. Not because of the works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus for good works, which prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. Paul described there some devastating effect on man, the state of mankind outside Jesus. He said, you're dead. Death and he said not only you, he said we, all of us, and then he said mankind, all of us without Christ, we are dead in means of separation, eternal separation with God. And then his explaining this in a medical sense, the diagnosis. I know diagnosis. I've been in the hospital bed for some time. He said, we all once lived this kind of life and the rest of mankind. He said, we are dead. Now, we read about the prodigal son. And when the son returned, the father said, come, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate my son. He said, he was lost, but now he's found.